Move to the third case this morning, Asmus versus Max Convenience Stores.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I'm Roy Petty for the petitioner in this case, Blanca Mendez-Garcia.
You're one case ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apologize.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your Honors, I'm Steve Schlegel. I represent the plaintiffs who are the appellants in this matter. This is a de novo proceeding, as far as this court is concerned, from a summary judgment, as you know, granted by the district court against our clients in a slip and fall case that occurred on Christmas Day of 2008 out in Mokena, Illinois. Specifically, I have no way to convince this court that the district court is wrong unless I can convince this court that the district court's findings about what the record of the evidence actually show here are really wrong. At page 8 of his opinion, the plaintiffs have offered no evidence that the ice on which Tina slipped was an unnatural accumulation. This statement seems to us to be a failure on the part of the district court to recognize what he calls his conjecture. We call reasonable inferences to be drawn from the sum total of the facts of the circumstances involved here, and let me try to briefly explain. Unlike some of the cases cited by the defense, we have more evidence than is required to survive a summary judgment as to the circumstances of what happened, what the conditions were, what the actions of the defendants were leading up to this specific fall. Specifically, although the district court states that reasonable inferences drawn from Kevin Asmus's testimony suggest that melted snow or ice from the sidewalk area by the door may have run into the parking lot where it refroze, plaintiffs have offered nothing beyond conjecture as to how a patch of black ice was the result of any negligent act or omission on the part of any of the defendants. Without violating this court's usual procedure of going into the facts to excess here, I do wish to point out that in addition to Kevin's testimony, you have a long, long statement of facts which show all of the plowing and all of the salting that was done by the contractor Stay Green over the course of the prior 24 days of the month of December. You have Kevin's testimony. You have the plaintiff's testimony. You have the pictures taken by the defense store clerk immediately following the incident. And from the sum total and substance of this, if you look at those pictures and you look at that testimony, you're going to find reasonable inferences to show that the following is the fact of this case. 12 times in the month of December, there was plowing and salting that was performed. The last inspection by a store clerk of the premises outside, or of a store employee outside of the store, was at 3 o'clock in the morning before this accident, which took place between 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening that day. The restatement 324A, upon which we rely, does not require a contract as some of the cases that are cited by the defendants are concerned seem to require, to create a duty to keep the lot safe and secure to a reasonable degree for the safety of the patrons in this case. The odd thing about the matter from the store owner's perspective is that they require by their policies to keep this lot safe. They require by their contract with the plowing service that the lot be plowed to a reasonable degree whenever necessary, and that it be salted. They require all of their employees to inspect reasonably every day, and then they bifurcate the duty of salting and maintaining the premises. They give the lot on which she fell, the plaintiff fell, over to their contractor, and they tell their employees it's okay if they just salt and shovel around the areas of the gas pumps, a long way away from where this accident took place, and that they are to inspect and salt the sidewalks adjacent to the lot and the entrance where this took place, and then they turn around and say, but we didn't have a duty to do this in the first place. Well, the restatement does say you have a duty to do it well once you assume the duty.
What about the natural accumulation of ice and snow versus whatever?
We think if you look at the pictures taken in light with all of the evidence of what occurred there and what they were like, you can't find a natural accumulation in the scene.
Well, the way this I envision this is a sort of a gas station with stuff you can buy inside and that sort of thing. And so there's lots of foot traffic and tire traffic and everything else. And I think what you might be saying is you cannot have a natural accumulation once it's marred like that. Am I assuming correctly what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that given how you have treated the lot and plowed it from time to time, and given your duty to continually inspect the lot, not only can you not find a natural state in the parking lot on which she fell, okay, but you must find, if you find there's a duty to reasonably inspect it, that if the store employees would have followed their duty as mandated by their policies, but as amended by their store manager in terms of areas of responsibility, that from 3 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night, every opportunity would have been had for any store employee to notice the condition of that lot, which was uniformly agreed not only to be dangerous where she slipped, but subject to snow accumulations around the other portions of the lot that are not an issue.
Had about an inch of snow or something. Yeah. I guess they plowed it the night before.
Well, it was 24 hours before that there was a one-half plowing, according to the plowing contractor.
What you described, though, at least from my point of view, is that you're almost asking for strict liability.
I'm not asking for strict liability. I want only the right to argue these inferences to a jury, as would be the case, to show that the policies and procedures and conduct of the store employees led to this dangerous condition that they could have warned about or salted or simply put a chair like on a parking place prior to or so as to direct patrons around. The simplest of observations and the simplest of warnings could have prevented this.
One other thing I wish you would clear up, because I wasn't clear of it. Was her name Tina or something?
Tina Asmus.
Yeah, that she was carrying a child.
She was carrying a child on her hip when she was walking out of the...
And how old is the child?
I believe she was 3 years old.
Okay. And the only reason I was wondering, because I didn't see it argued anywhere, if someone's carrying a child, they have a different... I don't know what you want to call it, when you're walking through snow or ice or anything else. Well, center of gravity and also of care. And frankly, if somebody slips and you've got a child, you're going to do something different than fall on the child. And I just wondered if that was part of the problem. It's not mentioned in the briefs and everything, but it's just something that sort of jumped out at me as something different than just one person walking, stepping off the sidewalk and walking where she did.
The record does reflect that she was carrying a child.
Yeah.
The record does not reflect any comparative or contributory negligence that's being used in connection with this summary judgment.
And I assume the child wasn't injured.
The child was not injured. I see my time is up.
You can answer the question.
But Mrs. Asmus was injured in a very, very severe fashion here. And it's an injury that we contend the record gives us a right to show what all the inferences add up to, that there are questions of fact on all of these matters that should not be treated as conjecture, but should be treated as competing inferences that should be argued to the trier of the fact.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Judge.
Good morning. May it please the court. Counsel, my name is Mike Reeses, and I'm here today on behalf of all of the defendants except for the snowplow contractor, Stay Green. We've agreed to split our time at 5 minutes apiece. The district court properly granted summary judgment, and we ask you to affirm. Under the natural accumulation rule, defendants as occupiers of the premises owed no duty to remove or warn of natural accumulations of ice and snow that may have existed in the parking lot. To go to an observation made by Justice Kane, even when you have foot traffic, even when that foot traffic may cause something in the way of a rutted surface for walking, it is still considered a natural accumulation. Erasmus versus Chicago Housing Authority, cited at page 13 of our brief, stands for that proposition. In this case, there's no dispute as to what happened. Plaintiff fell on a cold winter day after she took two or three steps off the curb into the parking lot, and Stay Green, the contractor, had plowed within the past 24 hours, and there was still ice and snow present in areas throughout the lot, which would be commonplace in this climate in December. Under Illinois law, plaintiff had to present facts, not speculation, facts. Allow the jury to find that there was a specific cause or origin of the ice that was unnatural or aggravated by the defendant's negligence. Plaintiffs simply never made this showing to defeat summary judgment. There is no evidence of any defective condition of the premises that caused the ice to form in that one spot in the lot. There was no leaking from any gutters on the building. There were no potholes or dips in the pavement in the area of the lot where the plaintiff fell. The lights were on so she could see. Even though there may have been a trail of liquid, and the district court gave the plaintiff the reasonable inference that there may have been a trail of liquid from the curb to the area of the lot where the plaintiff fell, there was simply no evidence to connect that trail to any condition of any snow beyond the sidewalk area when the snow was pushed up on the against the building. And the photographs in the appendices to the brief clearly show that.
When you talk about natural accumulations, is there such a thing as a natural consequence of melting snow, for example,
that
refreezes?
Yes, precisely. And if you're going to have snow that melts because of a thaw, for example, or even if there's salt, you have to show that there has been some negligence that caused an aggravation of the condition. I mean, one example would be the case they cite. They cite a case called Russell versus Village of Lake Villa. And there, they plowed the snow up over the curb onto the sidewalk. which in itself probably was not a very smart idea. Then the snow melts, causes ice to form. The negligence was in plowing the snow in such a way that it goes up over the curb onto the sidewalk. It becomes unnatural because that's how the snow was plowed. There isn't any evidence here that Stay Green was plowing snow up over the sidewalk in a way to cause ice to form. You can see the sidewalk in the photographs. You can see the snow up against the building on the other side. But there is nothing in the lot. There is nothing to connect any liquid that's in the lot to any snow that's across the sidewalk on the other side of the lot. Moreover, there isn't any evidence to suggest that there's anything wrong with the sidewalk. Plaintiff says in his brief that, well, the sidewalk was sloping. Okay? They never took any measurements to show what that slope would have been, that it would have been unreasonably dangerous in the opinion of an expert. This is discussed at some length in the district court's decision. We've cited three cases, Wells, Greenwood, and Davis, where plaintiffs presented more in the way of evidence of a slope, where they took the measurements. Yet the court affirms summary judgment for the defendants. Presented more evidence than the plaintiffs ever presented here. The district court did not err in rejecting plaintiffs' invitation to speculate. There was less, not more, evidence in terms of a slope. The plaintiff's alternative argument is that the defendants assumed and breached a voluntary undertaking. Fares no better than the other arguments they've made. Our internal guidelines don't create a legal duty to act, and certainly not a legal duty to act in perpetuity. We've cited a number of cases that clearly reflect that. Plaintiff simply ignores every case we've cited. One of those cases, Philpott, actually, there the defendant had a similar internal policy of clearing sidewalks.
You're now eating into her time.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to her.
I'll do so, and I will do so after the argument. We ask you to affirm. Thank you for allowing us to address the court this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Rezes. Ms. Grove?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Angie Grove, and I represent the snow removal contractor Stay Green Incorporated. This court should affirm the district court's order granting Stay Green Incorporated summary judgment. As counsel for the property owners have succinctly addressed, the evidence in the record demonstrates that Mrs. Asmus fell on a natural accumulation of ice and that Stay Green's service on the day before did not proximately cause her fall. Counsel for the plaintiffs addressed several different reasonable inferences from this accident, which wasn't an unfortunate accident that befall Mrs. Asmus. He pointed to the plaintiff's testimony. Well, if you look at the record, Mrs. Asmus didn't even know what she fell on. Was it water or was it ice? She didn't even know. The counsel for plaintiff also directed the court's attention to Kevin's testimony, Mrs. Asmus's husband, and said that that created that direct link between the snow and then the trickling water that led to supposedly Mrs. Asmus's fall. But if you look at Kevin's testimony, he could not say what the source was. And as this court has directed us in Cicora, and I apologize, it's C-I-C-I-O-R-A, in Cicora and Rose, the mere presence of snow and ice does not demonstrate negligence. In Rose, this court found that the mere removal of snow, which leads a natural accumulation of ice on the surface, does not itself constitute negligence. This court and the Illinois courts require that plaintiffs provide evidence of a direct link between a snow removal contractor service and the fall. And like this case, as was suggested in Cicora and Rose, the plaintiff failed to do so. Now, I want to go to the second issue that was raised in the plaintiff's briefs, and that is of Stay Green's contract. Stay Green's contract was fulfilled. They fulfilled their obligations to the property owners in this matter. In addition, Stay Green's contractual duties do not apply to the plaintiffs in this case as the third-party beneficiaries. This matter was ruled on by the First and Second District in 2002 by McBride versus Taxman, which upheld the First District's ruling in Wells versus Great Atlantic in 1988. Snow removal contractors are in a different position than property owners under the natural accumulation rule in Illinois. Snow removal contractors only owe a duty to avoid, to affirmatively avoid, creating or aggravating an unnatural accumulation. There's no evidence that Stay Green created this condition that supposedly caused Mrs. Asmus's fall. And obviously, in this instance, Stay Green is not responsible for the slope that was identified or claimed by the plaintiff in the sidewalk. And as discussed in Medeo in the First Circuit, Medeo versus Tri-Land Properties, in that case, the Second District specifically told the plaintiff or instructed the plaintiff, you have to avoid the speculation, the guess, the conjecture. In Medeo, the plaintiff could only conclude that water flows downhill. And that's essentially what the plaintiffs are doing in this case. They're essentially arguing, well, the water slipped from the slope of the sidewalk and created this puddle that the plaintiffs don't even know what that is, whether it's water or ice. I think they're forgetting, obviously, the natural climate, you know, the climate in the Chicagoland area in the winter. Stay Green serviced the property the day before, and then the accident did not occur until the next day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And as this panel has discussed, there's foot traffic, there's driving, and then, as discussed in Sesora and Rose, just the mere presence of snow and ice doesn't demonstrate negligence. In this case, the record indicates that Stay Green complied with its contractual obligations, and nevertheless, the contractual obligations have no bearing on the plaintiff in this case as a third-party beneficiary. And then even putting that aside, you have to actually show that Stay Green's conduct would have actually caused or aggravated a natural accumulation in this case, and they failed to do so. If there are no questions, I'll just simply conclude by asking this court to affirm the district court's order granting Stay Green summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grew. Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.